Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mouse Ears Podcast, where we talk about all things travel, but mostly Disney. Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys Travel.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Mouse Ears Podcast. Tonight, we have Brooks as my co-host tonight. How are you, Brooks?
I'm doing well, Steph, and howdy ho, neighbors.
And I'm so excited because we have a guest with us tonight. We have FTJ agent, DCL queen, million-dollar seller, returning guest, Laura Greco. How are you, Laura?
I am fabulous. Thank you for having me back. How are you?
Oh, goodness. This episode is... I'm so excited. I keep saying I'm so excited. People have no idea what we're talking about unless they've read the title. Well, Laura just got back from the inaugural sailing to Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point, Disney's new private island. And so we're going to talk all about it today. But before we do that, one of our favorite things to do is talk about the new news with dun-dun-dun-dun, Christian Brooks Walker.
Welcome to the new news. I am your host for tonight, Christian Brooks Runner. So tonight for the new news, we are first going to the other park there in Orlando, Universal Studios. Today, on Thursday, June the 20th, Universal Studios gave us a sneak peek into the Dark Universe park within Universal's Epic Universe. Just a short snippet from Universal. The legendary Universal classic monsters come to life like never before at Dark Universe, one of five amazing worlds at Universal Epic Universe. You'll get your first glimpse into this shadowy world and hear about the groundbreaking rides and attractions from many of the park's creative team. They are referring to a video, which we will post on the Facebook page. And this land of monsters will include two attractions, Monsters Unchained, the Frankenstein Experience, and the Curse of the Werewolf. Two dining locations have also been revealed for your monstrous appetite. Dust Steakhouse, which is a steakhouse themed after Dracula, and the Burning Blade Tavern. You will also be able to enjoy featured meet and greets, shopping, and much more. And don't forget, Epic Universe opens in 2025 at Universal Orlando Resort. So this one with the Dark Universe, one thing that in that video that they mentioned that I thought was really interesting, they mentioned that they kept it family friendly, but with Dark Universe, it goes a little bit more into a PG-13. Still family friendly, but going more into that PG-13, just like Halloween Horror Nights is a little more of that PG-13 instead of Mickey's Not So Scary, which is for all ages.
Yeah.
So
it's the dark side.
Yeah. So, but speaking of Universal, if you're looking to travel to Universal Orlando Resort sooner rather than later, because, I mean, that 2025 just seems like a long ways away, we want to let you know that there is a brand new Travel Advisor exclusive offer where guests can save up to $1,300 on a 3-part, 5-night vacation package. If you want to take advantage of this epic deal, contact Veritale Journeys Travel for a free no-obligation quote and see what you can save on a trip this summer.
That's one heck of a deal.
That is a good one.
Oh, gosh. So, now's the time to take advantage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No time like the present. Moving back over to the other side of the Interstate there in Orlando. A new After Hours event is coming to Disney World this fall. On Saturday, September the 14th, Disney World will host the 2024 Disney After Dark Pin event at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort Convention Center. This will be a unique experience for pin traders and enthusiasts, and we look forward to learning more details about this event in the near future. This is a completely different After Hours event than what they've done before. If you're into pin trading, I feel like there's going to be some, they're going to bring out some special ones for this event.
The collectibles.
Oh, yeah.
Just kidding.
And now,
well,
just,
I can only imagine.
Oh, yeah. Now, just a stone throws away over on the West Coast, Mickey and Minnie will sport a new fall look and take part in a new daily sing and dance along show called Mickey's Trick and Treat at the Disney Theater and Disney's California Adventure Park. Additionally, Oogie Boogie Bash, a Disney Halloween party, will take over Disney's California Adventure Park on select nights starting Saturday, August 25th through Thursday, October 31st. These tickets will go on sale on June the 25th for Inspired Magic Key holders, June the 26th for all other Magic Key holders, and June the 27th for all other guests. These tickets do sell out, so we recommend getting on the waiting list with a Fairytale Journeys agent prior to these dates to best secure your spot this spooky season.
Oogie Boogie Bash was a, they
went like
sold out day one. Yeah,
they're hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They're like Figment popcorn buckets when they first came out. Gone.
You said
it. And the Stormtrooper helmet popcorn buckets. I'm still trying to get one. And then lastly, going a little bit with our theme tonight, new fall 2025 through spring 2026, which is September 2025 through May 2026, DCL itineraries have officially been released and will be available to book starting June 28th. Clients always ask us, when is the best time to book a Disney cruise? And the best time is always when itineraries get released. Isn't that right, Laura?
100% that prices are going to be best in this opening week. So you know the drill. Mondays for Pearl, Tuesdays for Gold, Wednesdays. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Pearl, Platinum, Gold, Silver, and then general booking. You don't want to wait past that time because then, poof, they start to go higher.
Oh, yes, yeah. They do.
True story.
True story. They do.
If you have a placeholder, you can move the placeholder, get the 10% off on top of the opening rates, except for blackout dates, which are traditionally, you know, your Christmas, New Year's sailings. Those holiday sailings are usually blacked out.
Yeah. So with that, that is it for the new news. Now back over to the Mouse Ear Studio with Steph.
I might not have, you know, cool glasses like you, Brooks, but I did bring my Disney Cruise Line hat. And Laura with her brand new Lookout Key mouse ears. We're ready. We're here. We're excited for this topic. And like I said, we're going to talk all things Lookout Key at Lighthouse Points with FTJ's Laura Greco. So we're going to get ready. You guys can't see, but Brooks felt a little left out with his lack of headwear and decided to put a duck on his head, now his shoulder.
Doesn't want to balance. I guess the wind from Christian Brooks running out just is messing with all the balance. He's so fast.
Oh, goodness. Well, on that note, Laura, you're the master when it comes to this sort of thing. All things Disney Cruise Line and their private islands. So definitely going to pass the reins over to you, especially as we get started. What is Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point, and where is it located? Let's get the ball rolling.
Okay, so this is the new private island that it's different than Castaway, and there are definitely differences. I don't know where you want me to start, but let's start with where it is. So it is in the Bahamas, and I learned a few things while I was there the first time, and this is what I learned. Eleuthera is the name of the island that Lighthouse Point, Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point is on. And Disney made an agreement with the Bahamian government of Eleuthera, and they have the southernmost tip of it where there's a lighthouse, thus Lighthouse Point. And it does have a very long name, Lookout Key at Lighthouse Point.
Eleuthera.
I am so happy I said it. Don't make me say it too often because I had to practice that. Eleuthera.
So if you gave me 10 guesses, I would have not guessed how that was pronounced.
I had you to can reach ask out to I my crew friends. Best. I reached out to my crew friends and made them voice message me.
That's dedication right there.
Eleuthera. So basically, they have that tip of this island. It's not like Castaway where Disney has the whole thing and they built it out and it's all Castaway. This is an island, it's miles long. It would take you 3 hours by car to get from one end to the other. The Bahamian people do live there. So I know there's been lots of questions that I'll address later about other people being able to visit the Disney portion of the island. I also learned by watching out the window that this is also where Half Moon Cay is, which is the private island for Carnival, is also on that island. So Disney built out the bottom southernmost tip. They also made an agreement with the Bahamian government that they would not ruin the natural reef. This is important when it comes to that big elephant of the room of the bridge that they built from the pier to the island itself, because they couldn't do what they did on Castaway, which was build the pier right on the island, because the government, they made that agreement, they would not hurt the natural reef. They are protecting the environment, which I think is a wonderful thing. And in watching what Carnival does there, they actually tender, which means they anchor the ship and send little boats back and forth to bring their guests onto their part of the island and know the Carnival people can't come to our part. But you can see it happening. So instead, we get to dock, but you have to walk across a bridge, which is beautiful. We'll get to that later. But you are immersed in the Bahamian culture. So it is totally a different feel from Castaway Cay. Those are the main differences. Hope that helped. Because they are two absolutely different experiences. It doesn't mean it's less beautiful or less of a paradise, because when you see the color of that water, the pictures I took don't do it justice. The sand is pink. That water is so blue, 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 blue. You have to be there to see it. The water's more beautiful there than it is on Castaway. I can't even describe it. So when you're crossing that bridge, you're surrounded by that beautiful water. There's a breeze going. You're looking at the ship. It's just beautiful. There's your difference.
I love that, honestly. Mm-hmm. Now, this might be a silly question, but maybe you have an answer to this. Because the name is so long, is anyone calling it anything else? Like just Lookout Key or Lighthouse Point?
I think we've heard it. Most people call it, I think now, Lookout Key. Because it's closest to Castaway Cay. I think people are dropping the Lighthouse Point. Oh, we're going to Lookout Cay. I think people have taken that over because, oh, we're going to Castaway Key or we're going to Lookout Key. And I think it doesn't matter at this point, because that's what we're calling the beach, right?
Yep, right. Well, Lookout Key it is tonight.
Lookout Key. Let's call it Lookout Key. It's a lot of words.
I mean, is anyone ever calling it like LCLP? I'm going to the CC or the LC?
You are starting to actually see that on social media. People are going, I see the itinerary going to L, whatever you just said, and
LCLP.
Yeah, I can't think that fast
it's hard
right
to
now.
Be Snoop the old double G.
Yeah. Yes, that. But you see it now. Should I pick this itinerary or this itinerary? And they're using those. So it happened very quickly. But one, you're immersed in the Bahamian culture, and the other, you just feel like you're on a deserted island. And they did that intentionally. It's two different experiences. But the same Disney service.
Mm. So I guess that kind of answers a little bit too of like what makes this new private island so special. And I mean, from what you were just saying, like my takeaway is that water being so extremely blue, you know, just like postcard blue, I guess. And then as well, you got the immersion into the Bahamian culture. Probably a little bit different too than Nassau, because a lot of Disney Cruise Line itineraries in the Bahamas do dock at Nassau. And that's also a Bahamian island, but a different experience altogether. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, because if you think about it, a lot of ships go to Nassau and you go into the port and you choose Port Adventures and everybody's either going to Atlantis or Bahamar or whatever, that Blue Lagoon, and they're going to swim with dolphins. That's not what's happening at Lookout Key. You have the people of Eleuthera coming and showing you their culture. They are doing these great shows for you and really giving you the experience of their culture. And they're doing it partnered with Disney. So you're really getting a feel for that particular culture. And that's what makes it different. It's spectacular. The costumes, the colors, it was incredible. You're like, whoa.
Do you mind talking a little bit more about some of these shows and then the entertainment part?
Yeah. So they're scheduled and you'll see the schedule on the app. You know, it's on your navigator. The shows are every couple hours on the island. And there's one with the characters and they come and they dance with you. And they're so cute. And it doesn't matter how hot it is. They're out there. They're dancing. They're interacting with the kids. And then out come the Eleutherans, I guess you call them. And they have the big, colorful headdresses. And they actually do their cultural dances for you. And it's the music is incredible. And I just can't describe. It's something you actually have to, like, be there to understand. And it's, they make you part of it. And it's done so many times a day that you don't have to like plan your day. Because it's done every couple hours. But to see the kids dancing with Mickey and Minnie and their new costumes that are so colorful, and then to see these Bahamian people come and do their show for you just right there, and you dance with them. It's amazing.
You know, it kind of reminds me, I've never had the pleasure yet, but from everything that I've learned and heard about, it kind of gives me a resemblance to Aulani, you know, being in a portion of an island, and you've got the Disney element.
Mm-hmm.
While still immersing, you know, the cultural aspect of it, which makes, you know, that island so precious. And, you know, with the dancing and everything. I mean, I've seen so many videos and social media posts about that. So I'm getting those Aulani feels from what you're telling me, which is nice.
Very similar to that. The culture's there. You don't have that on Castaway. You know, Castaway, it's like that paradise. You're on this
island. You feel shipwrecked for the day. It's just a paradise, right? But this is the same thing. It's a paradise, but there's more entertainment.
More immersive, I'm getting. Yeah, like, you know, immersed. You're getting more of a cultural aspect of things, which mm-hmm. I think is getting it's the key here for people to really take away is you get the relaxing portion of, you know, going to a beach destination, but you're getting a little bit more than just that. So right. Which is great. I think that's so awesome. It's different. I mean, you can go to all the Bahamian Islands with any cruise line, but you'll only get this experience with the Disney Cruise Line.
Correct.
At this location, not even at Castaway Cay. So
correct.
Really great to make those distinctions as well. So speaking of different ships, do you know what all ships go to Lighthouse? Lookout Cay.
Lighthouse, whatever we want to call it. So yes. So what they're doing is they're taking the older ships in the fleet there. Reason being, they don't want to give the brand new ships the brand new island, because then everybody's going to go on the brand new ships to the brand new island. So our older ships, Magic, Fantasy, Dream. So the Fantasy won't go there yet until the Treasure comes. And then starting in, I want to say January, the Fantasy from Port Canaveral will do visits to both islands. I'm on one of those sailings where you'll go to CC.
Oh, so great. Oh,
right. And, but right now it's going to be Magic and Dream when she comes back from Europe. We'll go there until nice. The Treasure, and then Fantasy will do it. And then Fantasy will go over to Europe, and that's how that will roll. So it will be the older ships. Magic and Dream right now will go to Lighthouse or Lookout Cay.
And which was the ship that you were on when you went?
I was on Fantasy. She did that big seven-nighter where we got to go there twice. That was nice. And I have to tell you, the crew was so excited to step off and be the first. And they had no idea what to expect. And
that is so awesome. Especially because I think one of the things that I loved most and was most excited about was that this was one of Joe Rohde's last project, you know, I
and
think he's.
You can tell those canopies over the food, all the shaded areas scream his name. It is gorgeous. Because you have to remember the topography is also different than Castaway. Castaway, you know, you're walking down the paths and anywhere you could step onto a beach. But the topography of this island, it's a little more mountainous. So everything you're walking on is literally a boardwalk until you get to the beach. So it's not like you can, I'm just going to step onto the beach here. So everything's kind of on a boardwalk, and off these beautiful boardwalks, you just see his work. So it's just roads. He did the whole thing. There's no doubt. It is all him.
I love his work, honestly.
Well, and I just want to say, I think it's interesting too that, you know, with this new destination, you know, it's not like Disney just did let's just do a carbon copy of one and we're just going to put it here and we're going to create a second one. So now we have two of the exact same. Like you were saying, the topography is different. They worked with the island. Because like you said, with Castaway, they have that whole island. They could pretty much do what they want with it. But with Lookout, you know, they worked with it, with the island, because they, like you were saying, they have a small portion of it. So they, instead of just, we're going to just completely make it the way, you know, just, not bulldoze everything, but just kind of, you know, make it all flat or whatever. They said, let's work with the topography. And I like that they made it different. So it does make it exciting. I'm going to have a different experience going to this one as opposed to going to the other.
Right. And I mean, the negative for that is Disney people don't like change. So, you know, I think it's awesome that it's two different experiences. And unfortunately, we did not experience love from a lot of the people on my ship, which led to a lot of complaints because it wasn't the carbon copy. Because they don't like change. The same thing happened on the Wish. The Wish wasn't a carbon copy of the Dream and Fantasy. So, the same thing happened when people stepped onto Lighthouse Point. You know, the first thing they saw was this walk, which it's a half a mile, everybody. It's a flat half a mile. You know, they walk longer in the sun to get from the parking lot of Epcot or the buses at Epcot to the entrance. But, there's a walk. The reactions of people were not so nice, but they did the right thing. It's not the same experience. And again, if they had bulldozed and gone into a lot of this area to make it the same, they would have compromised the natural reef. So, you know, they made this beautiful new experience and saved the natural topography. They should get an applause for what they did, because when you step onto it, it really is beautiful. And remember, there's two sides to it as well. There's two sides to it, because when you do come off from that walk from the ship to the pier, you're walking into the first section, and the first section has the family cabanas. They have their own beach. I was in there the first day. I was lucky enough to get a cabana, so a last minute cancellation. I had this big, beautiful, it was a family size. It held a gazillion people. It was just my husband and I. I had the beautiful view of the ship. And these 20 some odd cabanas, we had our own barbecue, our own bar, and we were close to the trams. To get over to Oceanside, where the entertainment was the regular family beach and Serenity Bay. So when you first step on there, you're stepping on to Mabrika, which is the first section of the island. You have to take a tram to Oceanside, to where the actual beaches are, if you're not in these cabanas. So it isn't like Lighthouse Point. I mean, it like Castaway at all. But once you get to the other side on these trams, which, by the way, run one after the other. So you walk, tram, 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 tram. You're on the beach within 8 to 10 minutes. And everything you need is right there. Hundreds of bathrooms, tons of bars, tons of like places to get smoothies. And you have your drink stations and your barbecues. It was so well done. The barbecues, tongue twister. Are you ready? True, true. True, true, too. And then Serenity Bay barbecue.
So, I did see those names.
And true, true, and true, true, too are the family ones. So you have two to choose from, and they both have different menus. Similar foods, but different menus. And they're way different than Castaway Key. They have introduced new foods, new variety of foods. They do cook-to-order swordfish. No joke. They have chicken and rice bowls. They have salmon. They have ribs, your typical burgers and dogs. They have side salads to die for. Like, everything is kind of new and redone. Serenity Bay has that typical, you know, you want that steak, little different menu for the adults. Family Beach, I could have ahi tuna, the Family Beach cabanas. I had ahi tuna cooked to order. I had sword steak cooked to order. I had crab legs. They stepped it up a notch. And you know, when you go to Castaway Key, the soda stations, you have the paper cups. You get real cups now. Fill her up real, like, real cups the size. It's a step up, and they have the ice cream stations just like they do. So it's still an extension of the ship. And because it's an island that's actually lived on, when the crew who has to stay, they actually live in apartments. Like, they're not living in the remote Castaway Key barracks with no people. They actually go to restaurants when there's no ship there. So they actually have a life. They like it.
Wow.
I mean, you had me sold on train.
So hungry.
So
yeah.
I mean, we love our Disney transportation here on the Mouse Ears podcast.
So yes, there are tons of trams. You just have to walk a whole half mile.
I know that's the elephant in the room, and we will address that a little bit more further down in the episode. But, you know, we've been kind of jumping around to all these different locations on the island and how amazing Disney did this. Could you almost walk us through the layout?
Yes.
Okay. And explain to us, like, you know, a little bit of what the kids area has, a little bit of the adults and the family. So people who've never been on it or been to an island of Disney's making can get a better idea, please.
Yes. So let's say the ship docked. And I will tell you that when the magic docked, because I know this is a big question for our listeners, when the magic docked, they docked starboard side. People on starboard side could see the big long walk and the island. I was on starboard side on the Fantasy, and both times we were there, port side was against the pier. So I think it's hit or miss. I wouldn't worry what side you're parked on or you're booked, because I think the ships can dock either way, and it's a matter of what side of the ship they are set up to dock on most often. Okay. Either way, you disembark the ship just like you do on any other island, and you exit. There are carts to pull your children across that half mile walk if you are unable to walk due to any handicap reason. You tell guest services they will take you by golf cart. If not, there's cups of water, wet towels, and you walk. When you get to the other side, you arrive at the wonderful welcome center where security is. They welcome you in, and you have arrived at point A, and there is your There's that first coffee shop, coffee smoothie shop, where you can get a yummy latte or smoothie or specialty coffee. You also have those DCL people with their coolers and their water bottles. You have a small gift shop, you know, with hats and sunblock and t-shirts and swim shirts. And that's where their cabana check-in would be for the family cabanas that are right there. From there, you can go to the tram station, and off you go to the Atlantic Ocean side. This side is the Caribbean side. So you take the tram, and you arrive at your ocean side, another welcome section where you have all the merchandise in the world, bathrooms, your towels, because remember, towels are provided. So this is where you can grab your towels. Don't forget to return them to the return towel bins. You have a bar. You have the Bahamian shop, where the locals are selling bags and whatnot, art. And then you have your walkways to your different beaches. And if you go to your right, that's where the family beaches are. And if you go to your left, you're headed towards Serenity Bay. In the middle of all of that is where your shows will take place. Far to the right is that new wonderful splash pad area for the kids that they built. It is fantastic. Kids of all ages can go and splash around. It is the most epic splash pad I've ever seen. I took pictures. So much fun. And you can get a spot on the beach. There are seats for the beach before you could take the steps down to the actual beach, or you can sit on the beach. So there's a dune and then steps down to the beach. And then you head towards Serenity Bay. The first thing you'll pass are the Serenity Bay cabanas. Then you get to the Serenity Bay bar, food, and Serenity Bay beach. Remember, that's 18 or older, no exceptions. 18 and older. Even if your child is 16 and most well-behaved 16-year-old, no. 18 and older. And that is your island. And in between all of this is your true-trues and your true-true-twos and your other watering holes and your showers to wash off the sand. And your bartenders from the ship are there, and everybody's just having a good time.
That's awesome. I also want people to know too, who've also never been, Disney's very good about keeping all these common areas very clean,
Oh,
very polished. It's, yeah,
spotless. You don't see dirt or cups lying around. And what they also did at Lookout Key is the bars now serve. I mean, you can get the cute pineapple cups. I'm sure people saw pictures of them. Instead of the coconuts from Castaway, they're now pineapples.
So cute.
But they also now have, so the drinks stay cold, they're kind of like metal cups instead of plastic. And, you know, they'll come and collect them when you're done, but your drinks actually stay cold in them now. I was quite pleased.
Goodness knows we need cold drinks in these
Well, when
hot
it's
days.
90 degrees and they bring you a, you know, a cold drink and you're in that plat and the ice melts. At least now the ice stays, or they put the beer in there because they don't like glass bottles on the beach. At least you know your beer's cold for a while.
And you mentioned that there's a bunch of different like bar locations everywhere too, and you know, you've got all your dining locations as well. And you mentioned some fantastic food. I mean, goodness knows, I'm like I'm here actively thinking about not drooling while we're doing this.
Oh, I was sitting here remembering the flavors. I'm like,
Yeah.
oh.
So another thing for our audience to know, if you've never been on a Disney cruise, food is all included. So all
Correct.
those fantastic things that Laura was mentioning earlier, it is still included. Is there anything more you would like to elaborate on the food aspect of things on this island? Maybe some of the things that you ate that are more specific to this island or drank?
They had a concoction, just it was the Eleuthera Euphoria drink, and it
She
was a
sold me on that
Dole
name.
Whip. It was a Dole Whip on crack. It had like two different rums in that thing. I put it in the pineapple cup and just sipped it in the ocean.
I mean, any drink in a pineapple cup is, it
I
just
know.
elevates it.
I know. Oh, it was so good. That was good. That was their new specialty, because you know the each island has the, you know, Castaway's Kronk's cooler. This was the what did I
Eleuthera
see?
Euphoria.
Euphoria. Oh.
Say less, Laura.
It's
Your facial expressions are really making me jealous.
you may not be able to say the name after one of those, but you'll want another one.
You do have another one. And if
Oh.
Robbie's taking care of you, you get another. Oh,
Shout out to Robbie. We love the
oh
cast
my
members.
God. So there was that. And I have to say, we were there twice. So the one time I was in the cabanas, I had the crab legs, the ahi tuna. And it was that was my lunch. I was in heaven. And then I had a hot dog, a burger, and the chicken rice bowl on Serenity Bay. Very
You mentioned a cold brew to us off camera.
Yes, the Junkanoo latte, cold brew, vanilla, And it's Ely cold brew, vanilla, and lavender.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so refreshing. And I really didn't think I'd like it because I don't love lavender in my drinks. Woke me up. I mean, we were on that island pretty smack early. It was too early to drink. Yes. Even on vacation, it was still too early to drink. It was 8:30. I needed that wake up. Delish.
And there's no other better Everyone wake up than a Joffrey's coffee.
Oh, so good.
Joffrey, sponsor us in season 3.
Yes. Yes. You need that sponsor.
And that was also included, or is that a specialty I need to pay for?
Okay, so specialty coffees and the alcoholic beverages you pay for. Those are
I would still pay for that, hands down, no questions asked. Keep them coming.
But
I mean, I don't. It wasn't a bad price. It was $5.
Oh, that's not bad.
And they put it in the new Lighthouse Point, you know, cup for me.
Oh, you even get a little souvenir cup? That's cute.
Of course I did. Oh,
so, you were talking about the swordfish steaks and all that. Now, that is included, correct?
Yes. All the food on that island was included. Nothing was, no charge for any of the foods.
As John Hannon would say at Jurassic Park, they spared no expense.
And it was so good. It was so good. And while we're talking about it, there were flies on the first day we got there. And I want to say, there's nothing Disney could have done about that. It was our first time there. It's nature. The second time we were there, they were gone. So again, you have to give time for Disney to fix things. So when you're on an inaugural sailing or a maiden voyage, you're the test people. That's what they mean. So give them time to fix things. It was fixed the second time we were there. So the flies are gone. But in nature, flies go to food. If you've ever had a backyard barbecue, you might have flies. So imagine ginormous barbecues happening. They had ginormous fly problem. Not really Disney's fault, just say, but it's fixed. No more flies.
If anyone can fix it, it's Disney.
I guess they fogged while we were gone because I didn't have any fly issues the second time. That's all I have to say about that.
Do you want to, since we're kind of on the topic, talk a little bit about your, if there is anything more different from your first experience on the island and your second experience on the island on the first sailing? Yeah. If there's anything else that you feel like dramatically changed worth noting.
So there is always going to be changes from the first time a ship appears on an island to the second time, because that's our job. We're kind of like the test dummies. That's what we signed up for. So on the first time on that walk, it was a hot day. And in the middle of the walk, the first day, they had given us those ice cold towels, you know, like they give you on the pool decks on a hot day. And then at the end, you had cups of water. So that wasn't deemed good enough. So, and also I heard, boy, did I hear that also on the first day, that if you were handicapped or had issues walking, they would take the person, only the person with the handicap by golf cart, and the rest of the family had to walk. And that upset people, because the people who could walk were asked to walk so they could fit more people who couldn't on the golf cart. The second time we went, they had, first of all, more pull carts for the kids available. They gave you water on the way, along with the wet towels on the way. On the way back, they had big ice cold jugs of water with cups for you to fill yourself before you started the walk. They also added a camera person, one of the Disney photographers, to take a picture of you with the ship behind you, because I guess there were complaints that no one was taking pictures of you. So that was added on day two. And so you were given that cold towel before you started the walk, and you had water beginning and end. And then they were letting the whole family get on the golf cart if there was a reason somebody couldn't walk. So they're making the improvements. I also heard that they were going to try to find a safe way to put canopies to provide shade along the walkway. But also keep in mind that wind is a factor. So whatever they do, they have to make sure that it's not going to blow and hurt somebody. So they have to find safe ways to put shade. They're aware, but you have to give them time. There will always be improvements.
I also want to say that, you know, because we've definitely feel like all of social media was blown up with specifically that dreadful walk. And, you know, I'm so glad to have you here to talk about your personal experiences of it, what people said while on the ship, and for us to kind of like bust some of these myths, so to speak. But, you know, you mentioned the photographer coming out the second time and taking those pictures, because honestly, the first thing that came through my mind was, I mean, yeah, from the outside looking in, does that look like a long walk? Sure. Especially if there's no cover from, you know, a Floridian perspective, any right. place where you have to walk without shade is a little intimidating. I can totally understand that. But my thought process was, you know, I bet you could take some fantastic pictures either of the ship or of the island without any kind of obstruction too. So, you know, I didn't know that there wasn't a photographer. I didn't know that there eventually was a photographer, but I'm sort of glad that they made that adjustment. You know, they pivoted, as we know Disney's going to do, to continue to enhance this experience. And, you know, boy, do I truly, truly expect those pictures to be just absolutely breathtaking if you take them before the walk, you know, not at the end of the day when you're all wet and ready to get back and shower.
Well, and I have to say that, you know, the only reason I laughed at the people complaining about the walk, because if you really can't do the walk for physical reasons, they will take you, right? It just kills me because these same people walked the castaway walk from the ship to the first gift shop, which my husband and I, like on his Garmin, same distance, no shade, same distance, not one complaint. They didn't even want to take the trip. They were in a rush to get to their favorite spot on their favorite beach, and they walked. And we laughed because it was the same half mile. And we just were like, wait. And so, I just couldn't fathom that.
I think it really just comes down to people looking at it and being intimidated by it because there's no flora around it like in Castaway. But
correct.
Again, in contrast, you have this beautiful water surrounding you. You have a fantastic, you know, view of the ship rather than on Castaway. You have glimpses of the ship. Of normally you have it of the bow, you have the one Castaway arch where you take your picture, but here you have the ability to see the whole thing.
It's the whole ship. It was such a beautiful picture, and it's laying on this beautiful water, like stunning.
It's all about changing that perspective and really taking it for what it is, and there is an element of beauty to be said about this. And I mean, yeah, does it look intimidating? Sure. But like you said, you've done those walks any number of time in any number of different scenarios, whether it's from the parking lot, which we've all done that.
We all do it.
are in Castaway as well. So I feel like that's a really important thing to voice and for the audience to hear, so that they go in with more managed expectations. And I feel like maybe that's also another thing that people didn't expect it. So it was like, whoa, what's going on? But now people know. Now you're here. You're being the voice of reason as to, hey, this is not that bad. You know, it really isn't, because at the end of the walkway, you're going to have the best vacation ever. And before the walkway too.
Right. Like, mm-hmm. Go get that coffee at the end of the, if getting that coffee at the end of the walkway is like, your, oh, there's light at the end of the tunnel. I have my coffee. Oh,
Castaway has, you know, that, the 5K. Now Lookout has the, you go to the end of the bridge and you get the get the coffee.
Oh, so many people said that we have to run a 5K before we get to the island. I'm like, oh, you'd have to go back and forth on that bridge 3 times to run a 5K, but go for it. Like, you really have a bad perspective. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, like, Castaway has that 5K that they do every Sunday, but this one, instead of getting a medal, you get a coffee. I mean, that, to me, that sounds better to,
right,
me.
Like, run the bridge, get a coffee. I, you know, and there was a little boy who was doing it. It was so cute. Our second time, he whizzed by us. He kept running. I said, oh, that parent must be like, get your energy out. Go run the bridge. He kept whizzing by us. I was like, what is he doing?
If your friends go running over a bridge, will you go run too? Apparently he would.
Oh, boom, boom, boom. Like, wow.
No, to okay. be that age again.
Yeah. Hey, you keep going, kiddo.
So, moving on, you talked a little bit about your cabana that you were able to snag, which is also, can you talk a little bit more about some of the upgrades you can get at this port that will just elevate your experience even more so than it already is, being at this fantastic brand new, you know, Bahamian location?
Well, at this location right now, they don't have float rentals. You can snorkel, but they do, cabanas really are the only upgrade that you can purchase at this time. And snorkeling, you can get snorkel equipment. They are going to do bike rentals. They have beautiful hikes, doesn't cost you. They're gorgeous hike trails. You can hike out to the lighthouse, the actual lighthouse.
Wow, that's awesome.
Point. So the,
how far is that walk?
Longer than that bridge.
But oh, that's great. That's
longer
great.
Than the bridge. But yeah, and you can actually, we walked all the way up the off Disney property. There was a big sign that says, you are leaving Disney property, swim at your own risk. So we, on Serenity Bay, we walked off it and actually kept walking. So you can actually explore. This is somewhere you can actually explore. It's very exciting. And you can do a port adventure to all of, like, the historic sites. And they meet you right after you get off the tram. So, yeah, you can upgrade your experience and learn all about this wonderful island in port adventures as well.
I love that. Do they have any spa services at Lookout Key?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. And then we talked about the entertainment. Is there anything more for kids, as far as entertainment goes, more specific to them, like face painting or thing, you know, things of that nature?
Not yet. Not to say that they're not. There's hair braiding. Okay. But not to say they're not doing it. It just hadn't opened yet, if they are. They're still working out some stuff. But when we were there, there was the hair braiding, there was the splash pad, there was the family beach, and that was about it.
Gotcha. Okay. What merchandise piqued your interest?
What merchandise didn't? I spent a lot of money. They had ears. They have, and it's just like Castaway Key. If you see it on Lighthouse Point, you buy it. It's not being sold anywhere else. So they have, you know, all the t-shirts and the towels and the, I got it, cover-ups and ears and t-shirts and swag and hats and visors. I got a visor because, of course, I left my sunglasses on the ship. And
oh, man,
I bought even Star Wars sunglasses for kids. I know that would make you happy, Brooks. I brought my they were kids' sunglasses, so it wasn't really helping. So I had to buy a visor. They have so much merch.
Oh, that's awesome.
You name it. Tumblers, keychains, stickers, magnets, glasses, everything.
Oh, my.
Everything. Like, I kept going in there and, like, spending more money.
Well, so here's the thing. Another thing that's really standing out to me that – I feel is really worth, like, noting and telling the audience is there's so much to do without having to break the bank to do everything. Yes, you've got merchandise to buy. Who doesn't like merchandise? But you can spend your money on merchandise without having to spend money on food. Maybe you want a couple drinks here, but maybe you want some other drinks that – soda. Remember, you do not have to have a soda package with Disney Cruise Line. It is included. You don't.
So. Quite frankly, I didn't do any port adventures either day. I didn't do a port adventure the whole sailing.
You have enough things to look at with the entertainment and the shows. You can walk the beach. You can enjoy the water. You can enjoy a fantastic meal, some great drinks. You can do shopping.
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
There is so much to do, right?
It was a new island, so I was exploring everything Disney built. I was walking around and checking it out and taking pictures and enjoying the entertainment. And I didn't need to spend any money there. If I hadn't gone shopping, I probably wouldn't have spent a dime.
Most people like souvenirs anyways. But what I'm saying is what's so great is there's so much to do. And
yeah,
it's worthwhile, and it's not intimidating to think, oh, well, the only way that you're going to enjoy it is if you purchase XYZ thing. I mean, you have upgrade options if you want it, but by no means do you need to. There's just so much that Disney does offer. And I want to be able to highlight all the great things that they do have on their cruise lines, at their private islands that other cruise lines don't offer and don't have. It's very noteworthy. On that note, we've been kind of busting myths left and right on this episode. You know, Laura, you've been so great about explaining the difference between, like, a regular voyage, so to speak, and, like, a maiden or an inaugural sailing of things, where Disney or any company really would still be testing out the waters for certain things and using the feedback to improve, because that's what they want to do. They do want to provide the best experience possible, and little by little make those changes. And again, that's what in this case, the inaugural sailing to the island provided. That's why you went twice to the island. You went the first time and you got some changes the second time. And that in and of itself proves that Disney's listening. We talked about the boardwalk and the boardwalk looking intimidating, especially because people weren't expecting it. But Disney making steps or putting steps in place so that it could be more enjoyable, it can be more refreshing in a way, and the light at the end of the tunnel with all the different goodies you could possibly get. One of the things that we still haven't fully immersed ourselves in the conversation is how private is this island? It is, you know, not their. The island isn't entirely theirs. How safe is it? We've heard people saying that other inhabitants of the island potentially can get into this private section. Can you talk a little bit about that for us, please?
Sure. So, yes. They have leased the southern tip. And there is an agreement with the Bahamian government that the people living there can use the Disney portion. Beaches, not the cabanas. Nobody's opening the barbecue, but they can go use the beaches. They have to pay a day pass rate. If they were there when we were there, I wouldn't have known. So put it that way. Remember, only one of our ships at a time is there. I don't know everybody on my ship. Security, Disney security is always there. We have security on the ship. The Bahamian government provides security while we're there. I know they sell day passes. I can't tell you 100% if they're allowed to be there while we're there. I couldn't get a straight answer. I did ask. All I can say is if they were there while we were there, I would have no way of knowing. Something tells me, though, that they can't be there if a ship is there. But Disney is selling day passes for them to use that part of the island. It is totally safe. We are totally safe. We have security, and there was security. And I should tell you this. When you go back to the ship, this is important, and it's different than Castaway Cay. When you go back to the ship and you go back to that walkway where you came in through security, when you go out, you are going through a metal detector and they are going through each of your bags before you go back to the ship. And we aren't sure if they are looking to see if you're taking any like shells or sand or pieces of the reef, but they are definitely going through your bags before they let you go back on the ship. That's different than Castaway Cay. So we know they're being very careful. So we were safe, 100% safe. But yeah, I can tell you the people of urethra, I'm not going to say it again because I'm going to mess it up. They can go. The people who live there can go, but they pay to go.
That's great.
Disney
to
gets
know.
To make a little money.
Yeah. I mean, and people get to experience a little bit of the Disney magic.
Exactly.
You know, if we're not there, maybe they are. Who knows? Now, one of my last questions before we start wrapping up. Do they have a water net? Do they have any safety measures around in the water? Or is that a big no-no due to the protecting the environment aspect of things? Do you know that or maybe not?
I did see a stingray on Serenity Bay, but I see that on Castaway. I am assuming we're somehow protected by a net to keep sharks out. I mean, we're swimming in the Atlantic Ocean. So I'm sure they have us protected. You could see buoys. So I'm sure, you know, and they tell us not to go past them. So yes, I believe there's a net there.
I also feel like with such crystal clear waters, you could probably see a lot anyways, but you know.
Those waters were so clear. But we did see stingray. It was kind of cool. And I was like, okay, they're not used to us yet. Like, they've not seen people here. Don't follow it. Like the ones at Castaway, they're kind of used to us. But here, I was like, don't follow it.
Hey.
It doesn't know us yet.
Fair. Fair.
Stay away.
That's awesome.
It'll take years before they know we're okay.
No harm, no harm. But I really do love that they're still trying to keep the integrity of their, you know, culture, the safety of the environment, and so many elements that, you know, really just makes or demonstrates how Disney cares. So final thoughts, Laura, I'd love to hear, you know, maybe you have a favorite memory at this point already with being at Lookout Cay twice, or, you know, key takeaways. We'd love to hear it. Tips, you know, spill the beans with us. We're going to, you know, finish the episode with this, and don't hold back. I love your passion already.
So I think my favorite moment being at the new island was just knowing, like just stepping onto that pier for the first time. There's a feeling when you know you're one of the first. And just seeing that water, I just can't even describe, and putting your feet in pink sand. Like, it's just so stunning, beautiful. Like, I really didn't want to leave it. Flies and all. I was like, I got to get back here. I was relieved to know I had a second time there. I think my second time there, even though the weather wasn't as stunning as the first day we were there, it was very cloudy the second day. But I just couldn't get over the beauty of it. And I think when you brought up Rhodes and the fact that it was his last baby, you really do feel that. And if you are a fan of him and you're just taking it all in and you're looking at it, I think that was my takeaway. Just laying on that beach in that pink, soft sand, just looking around, it just meant a lot to me. Like, I can't describe it. It was such a long countdown to that sailing. it had my heart, just being the first one there. And even being surrounded by all the complaining, which really is annoying, but being surrounded by all the complaining, I was just trying to stay grounded in the fact that we were really actually finally there, that they actually got this open on time, and I was really there. I think that's what my takeaway was. We were there, we opened it, it was there, we were a success. And now other ships can go, and the test dummies were successful.
That's so funny. Ooh. Hey, listen, test dummies were successful, but you guys also got to soak in some beauty, some real, real beauty. I mean, you know, I'm not one to preach, but, you know, in moments like that, it's like when you're grateful. You know, you're grateful to be there.
I did take pictures of, because remember, we were the first, and all the new little baby palm trees and all the new little plants. I took pictures of it because, you know, 5-10 years when I go back and it's all like that lush, mm-hmm. filled in, I'm going to say, oh, you were this little baby palm tree.
People complained about you, but I.
But you were this cute little baby palm tree. Because it won't look like that forever. Because right now, that's what it kind of looks like. It's like this, the baby, it's not a full lush island yet. So, and it will be.
I'm actually very curious to see how Disney maneuvers any docking of the new island and that boardwalk if it's stormy. Especially now that we're in that season, and it's more than possible to happen more often than not. I'm very curious to see how they're going to do that transition, because we know they're gonna figure it out.
Well, yeah, but I can tell you the second day we were at the island, we docked. I watched a Carnival ship go over to their Half Moon Cay, and I watched them pull away because they couldn't tender. The water was so rough. Ugh. So when blankety blank person on the pool deck that night complained about the walk and wished they tendered, I did open my mouth and say, well, did you see the Carnival ship that tried to tender this morning and pulled away because they couldn't, and you still got to go to the island? I don't think you want to tender. I think you'll be grateful that you had to walk this morning. And then I walked away.
Mic drop, Laura.
So, and that's why Disney doesn't tender.
Oh, blessings in disguise that people don't realize.
Pick your battles, everybody.
So I want to finish this episode on any advice you would give people who are going to Lookout Key?
My advice to you going to Lookout Key, you should absolutely do it. Stop reading online stuff. Stop. I'm going to give you the same advice I gave you with the Wish reviews. Go. Make the decision for yourself. If you have trouble walking and you don't think you can walk the half a mile pier, tell guest services. They will drive you. Problem solved. Go. See it. Have fun. Enjoy the new island. Do it. You won't be sorry. Stop reading online. Terrible.
You said it, Laura. God, I love it. And that is what we do, people. We give you a positive spin on things so that you can realize that things are
good.
Things
are great. Make your own decisions.
Yep.
Book that trip.
Book that trip. Gosh, there's nothing like that sound, huh?
My heart.
Oh, Laura. You're almost on to the next one. Almost there.
I might book another one sooner. I don't know that I can wait 57 days.
Oh, Brooks, any final thoughts, questions, comments?
No, it's Laura. Every time you're on here, I've never been on a cruise, and it makes me more and more want to go on one. So,
can you go on one? You want to go on one in a couple weeks? I'll book it. Can't wait 57 days.
I wish I could.
Come on, Brooks. Playing that horn. You're killing me.
So, on that note, y'all, if you've been to Castaway and you love Castaway and you're up for a new adventure, check out Lookout Key, and it gives you an opportunity to not just visit something new, but explore something old. But the beauty of Disney is never really old now, is it? It's classic.
Classic. You gotta see that water, and you want the ears I'm wearing. I know you can't see them, but
yes,
they
yes,
are
I do.
Awesome.
They're so cute. I love them. So anyways, if you are interested in checking out Lookout Key, please reach out to Fairy Tale Journeys Travel Agency to get paired up with a travel agent or one of us or the queen of Disney Cruise Line, Laura Greco, and you'll get the best advice when booking your cruise. And on that note, Laura, thank you so much for tonight. It was amazing. It was insightful. I loved busting those myths. I love hearing about all the great things that this island now provides and that Bahamian culture that you really just don't get anywhere else. So the Disney magic is real on the Disney Cruise Lines. So I think that about does it for this week's episode of the Mouse Ears Podcast. Please, please, please join us next week for our season 2 finale, which is going to be a really fun, really exciting trivia night. Don't forget to join our Mouse Ears Podcast Facebook group and our TikTok page for all the episode details. And if you're interested in having a Fairy Tale Journeys agent book your next trip or Disney Cruise Line, visit fairytalejourneys.com and let them know that the podcast sent you. Lastly, if you like listening to us, we'd love for you to leave us a review wherever you hear the Mouse Ears Podcast. Until next episode, thanks everyone. Thanks, Laura. Have a great rest of your week.
Night.
Bye.